Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Outsmarting Infertility Podcast.
Overcoming recurrent pregnancy loss can sometimes feel like a losing game because once patients have gone through it a number of times, they can often feel like there's very little additional information being provided to them and what the actual cause is and what can be done to help prevent such a tragedy from happening again. And I think there's little conversation taking place around what are the modified risk factors . So this is something we often talk about on our podcast and our research blog posts to help shed more light on other variables that can actually, from an evidence-based perspective, have been shown to affect your chances of not just getting pregnant, but staying pregnant with a healthy pregnancy and caring for your birth. And one of these important variables that we're seeing based on a new research paper that was published in the journal of Fertility and Sterility in 2022 looked at the role of one very important vitamin. And what they found was that if patients were deficient in this vitamin, they were at a significantly increased risk of miscarriage compared to patients that had sufficient levels of this vitamin. And so this specific vitamin, or vitamin D3 that they identified, they looked at 10 research papers and they compiled the data from all the 10 research papers. 6 were observational studies, 4 of these studies, 4 of the 10 were randomized clinical trials. So the sum of this data showed that patients who had what's called vitamin D deficiency. So vitamin D deficiency, first off, is identified as less than 50 nanomoles per liter on a blood test. So if there's less than 50 nanomoles per liter on a blood test, that patient is diagnosed with vitamin D deficiency. And a patient that has vitamin D deficiency was at almost a two times increased risk of experiencing a miscarriage, unfortunately, relative to patients that had vitamin D sufficiency, meaning that they had normal or healthy levels of vitamin D, which in this study was identified as greater than 75 nanomoles per liter on a blood test. So if it's greater than 75, there's almost half the risk of having a miscarriage compared to patients that have less than 50. And then we have what's called vitamin D insufficiency. So it's kind of in between those two ranges. So vitamin D sufficiency greater than 75, vitamin D deficiency, which is less than 50, and then 50 to 75, that in between range, is what we identify as vitamin D insufficiency. So it's not low enough to be a deficiency, but it is an insufficient amount of vitamin D on a blood test. And patients that had vitamin D insufficiency or vitamin D deficiency, when we combine these two groups and compare them to patients who had vitamin D sufficiency, so healthy levels of vitamin D, there was almost a 60% increased risk of miscarriage relative to patients who had healthy levels of vitamin D. And so when we're looking at this data, number one, what we have to identify is that this is a correlation. We can't necessarily establish a causation from this data. So why would having a high level of vitamin D be associated with an increased risk of carrying to term and having a healthy term labor? It could be perhaps because those patients are getting more time in the sun and are more physically active, and healthier lifestyles, more active lifestyles are associated with better metabolic health. That may confer some protection on the pregnancy. Or is it because patients who are vitamin D sufficient probably have healthier diets, or they're taking supplements with vitamin D and therefore are more likely to be taking other supplements such as vitamin C or vitamin E, which we know are antioxidants, may have a role in affecting egg quality. So when we look at this data, we have to take it with a grain of salt in the sense that we don't know for sure if it's actually the vitamin D that's leading to this increased chance of live birth and healthy pregnancy. But when we're looking at 10 different clinical research papers, and then we take into account other research around vitamin D fertility, for example, we have seen randomized clinical trials looking at how vitamin D may be related to chance of pregnancy, IVF, may affect implantation rates. We've seen for specific conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome, how vitamin D actually plays a very important role in helping to maintain cycle regularity. It may affect the severity of symptoms. It may help to reduce severity of symptoms of polycystic ovarian syndrome. And we also see that vitamin D has a very important role in affecting or modulating the activity of the COM-T enzyme in the liver, which can affect estrogen levels. So we see vitamin D deficiency for certain ethnic backgrounds that have an issue with this COM-T enzyme in the liver may actually be at high risk of things like fibroids. So when we take into account the whole picture of, you know, vitamin D seems to have a pretty significant role when it comes to reproductive health and fertility. And for male partners, we do see that vitamin D can also impact things like testosterone production, sperm motility, by affecting intracellular calcium levels in the sperm cells. It's kind of hard to justify why we wouldn't check this vitamin level for patients, especially because it's quite easy to modify and quite easy to basically solve. If someone has a vitamin D deficiency, sometimes it's as simple as making sure you're getting more sun, changing up the diet a little bit, or giving a vitamin D supplement. Now, often patients will come and they're already taking vitamin D, and there's a pitfall to just taking a vitamin D supplement, you know, like, oh, you know, your prenatal has a bit of vitamin D, or the multivitamin you're taking, or you might be taking a separate vitamin D supplement. There is a big pitfall with this, which is vitamin D is notoriously difficult to absorb as a fat-soluble vitamin. So it's not easily absorbed compared to water-soluble supplements or vitamins like B vitamins, for example. So what can happen is if someone has poor nutrient absorption or they have issues with the gut microbiome, they may not actually be absorbing that much vitamin D. And you see this in clinical practice often. So someone could be taking half the dose of vitamin D but have double the test results when compared to someone else. So how much vitamin D you're taking doesn't necessarily infer that you have good vitamin D levels. We often see patients who are in either of two scenarios, which is they take vitamin D, yet their levels are still low. They're either insufficient or deficient, which means it's not about the vitamin D you're getting, it's about how much you're actually absorbing. And so then we have to look at more root cause of why isn't the patient absorbing the vitamin D? What's going on with the digestive tract, digestive function, and gut health? The second is where patients are taking vitamin D for a very long period of time and the levels are way too high. So one thing we didn't cover earlier in this video and this podcast is that patients can also develop hypervitaminosis D, which is vitamin D levels going to a very toxic level. And this is actually associated with increased risk of other complications like kidney stones, higher risk of calcifications in the arteries. It's actually associated with increased risk of seizures in very rare and severe cases. So we don't want to just take vitamin D just because, you know, you read it's healthy for fertility and you're just taking it nonstop for months at a very high dose. So the best thing to do is to speak with your licensed naturopathic doctor, figure out if vitamin D is actually relative to your scenario, if it's worthwhile checking and evaluating whether you need to increase the dose, decrease the dose, and making sure you're having optimal levels there. And then based on the blood test, actually determine what an appropriate dose for you would be. For some patients, an appropriate dose is 1,000 international units. For some patients, it may be much higher. And what is appropriate time frame that you should be on the supplement for? Because you don't want to just be on it permanently. As a fat-soluble vitamin, you do store vitamin D, so you don't need to take it forever and ever. Once your levels are at your body weight, maintain that time. Like other water-soluble vitamins, that if levels are very high, we'll just get rid of it. For example, vitamin D will stay in the body. So once you have an ideal level of vitamin D, that you might take what's called a maintenance dose, depending on what your doctor advises. Thank you.
The information covered in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a replacement for medical consultation or medical advice. Please speak with your licensed healthcare provider prior to making any changes to your treatment plan and/or medications. Thank you.